KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, the latest reporting on a slew of lawsuits San Diego has filed against residents and businesses impacted by those devastating floods of 2024. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. Nearly 2 years after floods devastated San Diego neighborhoods in January of 2024, the legal fallout continues between the city and residents. While the city faces over 50 lawsuits, they've now filed more than 20 cross complaints against businesses and local residents. Joining me live with the latest is Mara Fox. Her latest article in the San Diego Union-Tribune lays out all the details, and she's a reporter with that paper. So, Mara, welcome to Midday Edition.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, so glad to have you here. So bring me up to speed with the 50-something lawsuits now filed against the city. What do they allege?
Right. So there has been 53 lawsuits filed against the city by over 1,500 people, which is a lot. And they're alleging that the city failed to maintain its stormwater system, its storm channels, and that failure led to the catastrophic flooding that we saw last January when so many homes were destroyed and people were displaced. I should note this isn't the first time the city actually is being sued for something like this. Back in 2018, 2019, a group of residents in southeastern San Diego sued the city for something rather similar of failure to maintain the storm channels after some catastrophic flooding, maybe less catastrophic than what we experienced last year, but still that damaged their homes. And in that case, the city and the residents settled for around $200,000, which is not a lot of money.
Right, yeah.
But I think it's important to note that this is not the first time the city is kind of under fire for this.
Yeah. Well, your recent reporting looks at the city's cross complaints against more than a dozen parties, including at least two flood victims.
Mm-hmm.
What is a cross complaint exactly, and what is the city arguing here?
Yeah. So, right, the city by late August, the city had filed more than 20 cross complaints against more than a dozen parties. Which at this point they may have filed more. I haven't fully checked on that as of a few weeks later here. But basically, this is a way for the city to initiate a claim against these parties that it sees as partly liable for the damages, and that it sees as bear that financial responsibility. So they're saying that these parties either owned, maintained, controlled property that there was a storm channel on, that they should have been the one to take care of these storm channels, or they're also saying that they did something to divert the water so that it wouldn't flow properly. So there's kind of a mix of the city saying you either didn't do enough or you did something that caused damage. So the city kind of uses this term. It's like preserving its right to contribution, which is a little bit of a fancy legal term that doesn't mean a lot to just people like you and me on the day to day.
Okay, all right.
But basically, they're just saying that if we they're saying the city is saying it's not liable for this, but if they're found liable, that it will be because of the failures of these other parties that they bear some of that responsibility.
Yeah.
And should be paying for it.
So then would they be seeking damages from people, or would it be kind of more like a let's call it even?
Yeah, they're not seeking damages from these parties, but it's more so that like if flood victims are suing anyone, if you're suing the city, well, you should also be getting money from these other parties because they also were wrong and not maintaining these channels.
So that's what they're alleging. Well, as far as legal strategy goes, how common is something like this?
Yeah, I was really interested in this because I think for a lot of people, when you hear that the city is suing a few flood victims, you kind of have this immediate knee-jerk response of, that seems like kind of a callous move from the city. And maybe depending on where you stand on this case, that is how you see it. But I wanted to know if this was a common practice. From what I'm understanding, it is. I spoke with a law professor and a former defense attorney, Bill Slomanson. He works at Thomas Jefferson School of Law. And especially because he is a former defense attorney, he was saying that this is pretty common practice. This is when he was practicing, it's something that, you know, he would have kind of followed a similar approach, especially I think if you look at where the city has how they've kind of handled this from over the last year. So back in March, they filed what's called a demurrer. And it was basically they were trying to reduce the legal claims against it. So they've already tried to kind of push back against what they're being sued for.
Sure.
There's 6 legal claims filed against it. They tried to knock out 3. That they didn't really get far with that. Only one was knocked out. So basically, this is all just the city's effort to, you know, they're not commenting on their legal strategy, but as we're seeing it play out, this is their effort to kind of, you know, either reduce the claims against it or reduce its financial liability, which, you know, the law professor I spoke with, he was kind of like, they're sort of like paperworking each other to death, like this element of the legal process.
Yeah. Oh, what a headache. Well, you spoke to the lawyer representing 2 of the flood victims included in this cross complaint situation. What did he tell you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's Evan Walker. And he is, yeah, he's one of the lawyers for representing many of these victims. And, you know, when I spoke with him back in June, when we'd first reported that these cross complaints were filed, he really saw it as like kind of a slap in the face to these people. Like, you know, the flood victims are suing the city, and the city is kind of defiantly saying, like, if you sue us, like if you come after us, we're not going to take it lying down, is basically what he said. And so he kind of reiterated that recently when I spoke with him in August, and really just said, even if these, you know, because he's representing two of these parties, these 2 flood victims. And he's like, even if the city, you know, even if they had some liability for this, why is the city suing them? He's wondering, you know, offer them less money in a settlement. But to sue them, he finds to be like a pretty inappropriate step in this.
Yeah, callous, as you said. Well, the city is also suing Home Depot and another business in South Crest. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Yeah, so there's Home Depot, there's a homeowners association, there's even a construction company that the city contracted with to work on the Clay Avenue Mini Park in Logan Heights. So there's kind of a range here, but what you'll notice when you look at these properties and their addresses is they're all pretty centralized, and what this comes down to is like the location of these properties, and so. Many of them are in South Crest, just north of the South Crest Recreation Center. A few others are north in Mountain View, and they're really like along this where the water would run through mm-hmm. the storm channel. So it's really like location dependent. Home Depot just happens to be like on that
right
in that zone, and the city is saying, "Hey, Home Depot, you had a responsibility to maintain this, and you didn't, allegedly."
Huh. Well, there's 1,000 unidentified defendants in the city's cross complaints. Can we expect to get the full list at any point?
No. So the city told us in August when we were reporting this story that they maybe back in July, but they don't expect to identify all 1,000. They have named 4 of them, of these unidentified people, but the 1,000 is kind of it's a lot.
Sure.
And I guess I'd hate to say no. The city could certainly find and identify 1,000 additional parties that it finds liable. But that would be a very extensive list.
Yeah, I'd say so. Well, what can we expect the timeline to look like for all these lawsuits and cross complaints?
Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, actually, there's a status conference with both sides of the case. This is pretty standard. They have periodic check-ins with the judge just to kind of get an update on where things stand. And so that's tomorrow. And then Evan Walker told me that they're looking at a trial date, a start date of next summer, so summer 2026. That's if they don't go to a settlement. So, you know, anything could happen, but that's kind of the timeline they're operating on. So it feels like it's taking a long time, but at the same time, like, this is in the legal world, this, you know, sure. might be pretty standard.
Well, I mean, there are still, are there still people, you know, without a home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there mm-hmm. are. Yeah, I've been speaking over the months to people periodically of just the, you know, where they're at with their rebuilding. There's, you know, one person, you know, so many people are back in their homes, certainly, mm-hmm. but some folks are still working on those final developments.
Yeah. Well, you spoke with Martha Navarro. Excuse me. She's a Beta Street resident who's suing the city, but she's not been named in as a cross defendant. What did she actually share with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So she's not being sued by the city, which, yeah, like you mentioned, is important to note. But yeah, Martha and her family, she and her husband have two young boys, and their home on Beta Street is their first time homeowners, and they moved in just right before the flooding. And they moved in back in December, or late last year. So they're back home. Their house looks great. I visited it earlier this year, but they spent $20,000 to $25,000 on last year and this year as well. You know, just trying to you know, buy appliances, like clothing for their mm-hmm. kids, furniture. Like, they lost everything. These families, like, just lost everything. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, they're hoping that you know, they can reach an outcome in this lawsuit soon so that they can hopefully get some kind of financial compensation. But it's interesting, when I spoke with her recently, she was saying, like, they might end up using that money that they potentially will get from the lawsuit to put on a down payment for a new house in another neighborhood. So, like, they've just moved to this house. Like, it's exciting. It's their first home, but the risk of there being another flood is really, really top of mind for them.
Yeah, everyone's really left to weigh some life decisions there. I've been speaking with Mara Fox. She's a communities reporter for the San Diego Union-Tribune. Mara, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. It's been great.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
I'm Dr. Rachel Jans, Associate Curator of Modern and Contemporary Art at the San Diego Museum of Art. We're presenting a landmark exhibition of Eduardo Chiida, a visionary sculptor who transformed the way we think about form, space, and material. Eduardo Chiida, Convergence, is the most expansive U.S. presentation of the artist's work in nearly 50 years, bringing together monumental sculptures, delicate works on paper, and a virtual reality experience of his iconic Comb of the Wind installation on the Basque coast of Spain. Eduardo Chiida Convergence is on view now through February 8, 2026 at the San Diego Museum of Art in Balboa Park. Learn more at sdmaart.org.